Thank you, and I'll try to be very brief. The basic aim of our work package is to recommend ways in which the EU by 2020 can better incorporate energy issues into its development programs and its governance support programs, rather than the energy issue cutting across these other objectives, as many people fear is becoming the situation at the moment. Very much like Sven in a previous session, I had a series of questions relating to the main issues that I think will guide our discussion. We hope for some input and response from the European Commission, but if they're not here, it will be very interesting for us and useful for us to get your critical input into the way we're beginning to think about our work plan. The starting point is that we've seen lots of rhetorical commitments from the European Union in terms of linking these three areas of policy together: energy security, development, and the promotion of democratic governance. You will know that energy is one of the fish in the Statement on Policy Coherence for Development that was agreed in 2005. In the European Consensus on Development, development efforts are explicitly presented as the best way for the EU to further its own security interests. And in the EU-Africa Summit last December, a new Africa-EU partnership on energy was agreed, which has as its aim, and I quote, the increased development-oriented use of oil and gas revenues. So in a way, at least at the rhetorical level, the EU has made some steps down this road towards linking these different objectives together. To my mind, there are four main issues, or four main sets of questions that flow out of these commitments. One is the relationship between poverty alleviation and energy security. The second is the relationship between the liberalisation of energy markets and energy. The third is the relationship between governance and energy. And the fourth is the difference between different producer regions. So if we start with the first cluster of issues, the relationship between energy security and poverty alleviation. The Chief Energy Commissioner, André Pijgaard, argued on many occasions that the distinctive element to the EU's approach to energy is that it marries a concern with the EU's own supply concerns with support for better access of local communities in developing countries to energy resources. The argument is that the primary effort to increase energy efficiency and productivity within ACP states will increase capacity, increase the amount of energy available for export. The prospect of greater exports to European markets will in turn incentivize a better allocation of energy resources, a better management of energy resources within ACP themselves. So we'll get the setting up of this kind of virtuous circle that provides better for EU energy security supply and the access to energy and development needs of local communities in Africa. And we have seen some concrete steps that appear to give substance to this linkage between energy and development. Energy cooperation has for the first time become a priority area for funding under the EDF. Before it was not. Now it is. The main initiative so far was set up in 2002, the EU's Energy Initiative for Poverty Eradication and Sustainable Development, which is about improving access to energy as part of poverty reduction strategies. You will know that the one issue, one initiative created under this is the €220 million EU Energy Facility that supports projects to strengthen energy delivery to rural areas. The October 2005 EU Strategy for Africa launched a program for energy infrastructure funding in Sub-Saharan and North Africa. Interestingly, talking about North Africa becoming a kind of transit area for energy supplies coming from Sub-Saharan Africa into European markets. And the Policy Coherence for Development Statement initiated all kinds of cooperation in energy, new twinning programs between the EU and ACP states in the energy sphere, convergence of regulatory frameworks, regional cooperation, the integration of energy into PRSPs. The underlying approach to all of this was said to be about enabling ACP states to make their own energy choices. And finally, a new round table between European and African bodies has been created, under which the pro-poor use of oil and gas revenues will now be monitored under the new EU-Africa partnership plan. So there are real concrete steps there that appear to give some substance to the positive linkage between diversity, development and energy, but I think there are still a number of questions remain open. How is this funding being used? Is it really of a magnitude that can make any tangible impact? Is the money available that's coming from the EDF for energy projects really meeting local development needs? Or is it actually a case of the EU using development money for energy infrastructure, energy projects that are in fact more oriented towards its own supply concerns? If it is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Obviously anathema to the development community, but many in CFST or ESDP circles would argue that the EU actually needs to have a more strategic focus on energy security. The EU defends itself, saying that an investment in reducing energy poverty is in the long term good for its own security interests. But again, is this really being put into practice? Analysts talk about new oil wars and a convergence between the failed state agenda and the energy agenda. But again, a lot of what European governments are doing recently looks like very old-style realpolitik. It's related to Simon's four-way grid he showed us this morning, where one of the axes was pointed to a renationalisation of policy. Alongside all this Europeanised commitment to development projects, we have Sarkozy building up very bilateral diplomatic relations with Los Santos, the Spanish building up links with Obiang in Equatorial Guinea. There's also this kind of renationalisation of energy policy going on at the same time that I think fits very uneasily with this purported linkage between development and energy. There's also the read over to environmental issues that I'll leave to Leo's session this afternoon. But suffice to say, with environmental ministries talking more about increasing Europe's energy independence through the development of renewables, this is a message that's being picked up rather critically by a number of ACP states who argue that there's a degree of hypocrisy there, while the EU talks about mutually beneficial energy partnerships. What many European governments are doing is pumping the really big money into developing alternatives to supplies coming from traditional energy producers. So that's one cluster of issues to do with the relationship between energy and poverty reduction. Second set of questions, the relationship between the liberalisation of energy markets and poverty reduction. Here, the issue is that the general debate that we are all familiar with over development and liberalisation of markets has a particular resonance in the energy domain. Why? Because the main foundation of the EU's external energy policy is the notion of extending the norms governing the EU's internal market in energy to third country producer countries and regions. So it's very much predicated upon the replication of EU market and regulatory norms in energy to developing countries. You can see this in the EPAs, the Economic Partnership Agreements, that make a particular effort to gain commitment from ACP states to improving access in and investment conditions in the African energy sector. The question to my mind arises whether this market extension model is really feasible. Does the EU really have any leverage to be talking about extending its own internal market norms in energy to Africa? Is it really the kind of model that fits well with local development needs in Africa itself? Is reducing energy poverty really about extending markets, or is it not an aid that actually requires more guidance from the state that the EU risks undermining through its focus on a kind of internal market model that the EU is seeking to replicate? What is the ACP response to all this? I have heard criticisms from ACP governments saying what we need is not to be offered a kind of abstract partnership from the EU on market and governance norms. what we want are firm, long-term supply agreements under which we can be sure that Europe is going to buy increased amounts of oil and gas from us over the longer term. Third issue, relationship between energy and governance. The PCD, the Policy Consensus on Development, says good governance is essential for development, and there will be lots of new funding available for good governance initiatives. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you will all be aware that the general context, the general energy juncture at the moment, is militating against democracy. Well, most people see it with oil prices at $130 a barrel. Most people see this as militating against good governance and democracy. The old argument that oil and democracy simply don't mix. We all know the oil curse, the resource curse, the rentier state argument. The logic now is that with autocratic producer regimes sitting on massively increased revenues from oil and gas, this actually makes them more immune from, better able to buy off domestic constituencies, and more immune from democratic change. So there's kind of internal dynamics and external dynamics. The internal dynamics, governments have less need for taxation of their domestic constituencies. External dynamics, Western governments need better rapprochement, better engagement with energy regimes and are less willing to be critical of their human rights abuses. Twin dynamics that seem to work against the democracy and good governance agenda. Personally, I think this is a bit more complicated than this. This is perhaps one issue that we can debate. I think at the same time, what the increased oil revenues have done is to engender greater political contestation in many producer states, with domestic populations increasingly angered that the oil bonanza is being managed in such an opaque and corrupt way by incumbent regimes. But still the critique is there that it's increasingly difficult to work on democracy and the promotion of governance in the new energy environment. The EU's energy strategy explicitly says this is not the case. There is not a trade-off between human rights and energy. In fact, over the longer term, again, the EU's sustainable interest in energy supply requires more democratization, requires improvement in good governance. Again, the question to my mind is, if this is the case, where are we seeing this emerging? Where is this happening? You know, how and where are good governance strategies actually being tailored to energy security policies? There's, to my mind, limited evidence that this is actually being done at the moment. We know that in general, European donors resist the use of punitive political conditionality. If we are not to use conditionality as a way of supporting governance and democratic improvements, what tools does the EU have to leverage improvements in political reform in ACP states? This, of course, relates to what we were talking about this morning in terms of China's presence. We all know the standard argument has become that China is undermining the EU's attachment of political conditions to its aid. But again, if you look across a lot of the continent, the EU has conspicuously not been very assertive in attaching democracy and human rights conditionality to its aid. So there's a debate there at least to be had over how different the EU really is on this issue. As we have in addition, the link to the failed state agenda or failing state agenda, the argument being that better governance equals stability, equals less resource conflict, equals improvements to the EU's own energy interests. But again, in practice, can we actually see emerging of the conflict resolution agenda with the energy agenda? If debates over the sending of the ESDP mission to Chad or anything to go by, where you'll know that the mission was delayed for 6 months because many states feared that this was in essence actually about French bilateral energy interests in Chad. If this is anything to go by, this is an issue where we're likely to see great tension in the future between what we understand as being security, a proper approach to security, and energy objectives. If I have one more minute to finish off on the fourth issue, I'm rushing rather through these different issues, but the fourth one I think is perhaps worth just putting on the table, and that is the difference between different producer regions. We see much emphasis on the fact that energy partnership with Africa is to be understood through the lens of development policy and governance issues, but if one looks at the whole tone of official statements in other producer regions, the tone is very, very different. This development-oriented discourse is simply not present to the same degree in Central Asia, Russia, or the Middle East. Is that a good thing, or is it a bad thing? As someone mentioned this morning, Middle East states, MENA states are of course all middle-income countries, with the exception of Yemen, but all contain very deep pockets of absolute poverty. And yet this development linkage with energy isn't being made to the same extent in producer states such as Algeria or Libya. Is that something that needs rectifying? And if so, how do we go about it? Or is the development linkage really something that is Africa-specific?
Thank you very much, Richard. I'm very impressed by your ability to make such very articulated and clear and precise and concise a presentation showing both the main problems, the main questions, but also the need for further research. So thanks very much.